I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Siddha Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is dear most to Krishna. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pasyata Deshatarine. And he has tirelessly preached the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way he's delivering all the Western countries. It was Srila Prabhupada himself who wrote these mantras. Because the devotees were not able to. Generally speaking, an acharya is not looking to worship himself. Who would want to worship himself? But because there was no one who knew how to worship, Srila Prabhupada was teaching the culture of the spiritual world. And so Srila Prabhupada was writing his own pranam mantras so that his disciples would be able to properly worship his lotus feet and to properly appreciate his mission. Gauravani Pracharine. This Gauravani, or the instructions, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the spoken words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are our jewels. These are our treasures. This is what is close to our heart. This is what Prabhupada brought. That was Srila Prabhupada. A humble servant. One who brought with him simply the knowledge that came from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who would speak from scriptures. One who would simply, when he crossed the ocean, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was his only solace. That was his meditation, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his trunk, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had published in three parts. And that Srimad Bhagavatam, he wasn't sure if he would be able to ever finish it. Because somehow or other, he used to stay in Vrindavan and early in the morning, long before others would rise, Prabhupada would rise. First, he stayed in the Vamsi Gopal temple on the Yamuna. But after a while, he was offered a room in the Radha-Damodar temple, just next to the Samadhi and the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So, what an opportunity to be right there in the Radha-Damodar temple, the temple of Jiva Goswami. Just right there next to Seva Kunja, that most sacred Rasa Stali in Vrindavan. In that place, the Goswamis had settled. And there, in Sri Sri Radha-Damodar, Srila Prabhupada would be seated early in the morning. Early in the morning, typing. Even in the day, he was typing. He was known for typing. Just the Swami who types. Somehow or other, he had a typewriter, and he was typing. And he was typing his magazines, which he had started in 1944, during the war. It was very difficult at the time, even in his household life. Somehow or other, he wanted to preach. He did not just want to spend all his energy maintaining his family and making money and doing business. No, he also wanted to preach. But it was war. There was war, and it was serious. Bombs were dropping on Calcutta. The whole world was tied up in war. So it was not a time, not a time to play around. Everything was under military control. Sorry, Swamiji, but paper is reserved for military purposes. Yes, no, there is no paper. Sorry, but really, for your paper right now can only be used for matters of war. That is right, Prabhupada said. That is right. My paper will bring an end to the war. It will bring peace. Therefore, it must be published. You must give me paper. All right, Swamiji. Chalo. Take the paper. Take it. And Prabhupada published his Back to Godhead magazine in 1944. In there, he wrote an article called The Frenzy of Hate and the Frenzy of Love. So frenzy means an intense aggression, an intense anger, frenzy. So the frenzy of hate, the frenzy of love. What was it? It was an article about how these two go hand in hand. And when there is love for das Vaterland, then there will be war, and then there will be hate. So on the one hand, that love for our nation is translating into subjugation. See? And in this way, the frenzy of love and the frenzy of hate. And Prabhupada wrote immediately. So he kept to his word. He said, this magazine will bring peace. Yes, he was ready to address the war. He was ready to engage with the world around him. He was writing about Krishna, but not only about Krishna, he was also writing relevant to the circumstances. It's not like somewhere on a cloud, on a spiritual cloud, writing about the wonderful, amazing things of the spiritual world. No, Prabhupada was engaged. He was writing something that people could understand, something that was important. War, yes. Yeah, we know about that. It's too much. Yes, it's a frenzy. It's just mad aggression all around us, everywhere. The whole world has gone mad into war. Everybody knew it. Everyone was worried about it. And Prabhupada explained what the root was. What was the root cause of this? Why was it so? Because of excessive love for the country of one's birth. This one is Rwatsky, and that one is Serbsky, and that one is this ski, and so on. So many skis. What shall I say? In all this identification, Boma Ijadi. This Boma Ijadi. This type of fixing the intelligence in the location of one's birth. Deep identification. This is the land of my birth. My blood. The blood of my ancestors has soaked into this earth. This is our land. This is our birthright. Oh yes. My children will just grow up in the land of their ancestors and carry the same tradition forward. And foreigners, not welcome. Prabhupada would address this consciousness. Prabhupada was ready to address so many issues. He was not shying away at all from calling a spade, as they say in English, which means from saying the truth direct, straightforward. Phew, was he straightforward? Was he straightforward? In Chicago, Srila Prabhupada was under fire of women liberation. And at the time, Prabhupada was just publicly saying women are less intelligent. With all due respect, I mean, that's like something shocking, right? And then to what kind of women was he saying that? to women who were ready to jump the barricades. And Prabhupada just spoke about the sensitive thing right there. Straightforward. He wouldn't walk around. He wouldn't beat around the bush. He wouldn't pussyfoot, like a cat, carefully walking. Not Prabhupada. Straight, right? Speak straight. But Prabhupada was not in any way interested in establishing his own superiority. Prabhupada was rather ready to be humble. Prabhupada gave a lecture in Uppsala in Sweden, in a university. And Prabhupada spoke about Varnashram. And he spoke about the four classes in society and how the brahminical class, the class of teachers and priestly persons, were meant to guide society, that then the kshatriyas who were serving this class were meant, and who were powerful, were meant to be enlightened administrators, the vaishyas were meant to do business and support the brahminical and kshatriya culture, and protect the Sudra culture, and the Sudras were meant to be laborers and to assist the other classes. And the Sudras were meant to live simple. So at the end of the lecture, someone stood up and challenged him. So, are you trying to say that you are a first class man or one of the other classes? And Prabhupada had described four classes, and Prabhupada said, no, I'm a fifth class man. He was ready to take a very humble position. We can see that in so many ways. And one way that we can see that is by reading the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And at one point, Dhruva Maharaj is at the end of his life. And at that point, a plane, a vimana from Vaikuntha, is descending. And death comes also before Dhruva Maharaj. And death offers obeisances to Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj then steps on the head of death and just goes into the Vaikuntha plane. And the plane is about to take off. There are representatives of the Lord there, four armed messengers. And just then, as they're about to take off, Dhruva Maharaj says, wait a minute, what about my mother? If I have attained all of this now, why? It is only because of my mother. Because she was the first one who told me that no one in the world could help me but God. Then I asked her, all right, where can God be found? And then she said, I am not sure, but they say that he can be found in the forest. I said, all right, Dhruva went to the forest. That's it then. So it was his mother who at first turned him to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his mother had acted as his guru. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj was saying, everything I've achieved is actually due to her. So, how can I go back to the spiritual world without her? No. Then he saw that his mother was also in a Vaikuntha plane. So then it was okay. She had her own plane and they were both like about to go up to the spiritual world. And then Srila Prabhupada writes a purport. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, just like Dhruva Maharaj delivered his mother, who was acting as his guru, I hope that in the same way, one of my disciples will become a pure devotee and deliver me. Srila Prabhupada writes that. So now that's a humble purport, right? That is just something where you just for a moment look like, my God, you know, how can he even think like this? Right? How can the thought come into his mind? It's not artificial. They asked Srila Prabhupada, so how many disciples do you have? And Prabhupada asked his secretary, who was there, how many members are there in ISKCON now? And he said a number. I forgot the number. And whatever the number was, Prabhupada said, I don't have any disciples, but I have so many gurus who are all teaching me how to become a devotee. So how could he see like this? Excuse me. How could he see that all these disciples were like gurus? Was that not artificial? Was he just saying that to take a humble position? Was he just saying that to encourage? No. Srila Prabhupada could see that everyone is unique, and that everyone is serving Krishna in a unique way, and that everyone in his own unique way is surrendering in a way according to their insight. And therefore, one can learn from anybody and everybody, because everybody has something special in the way they serve Krishna, in the way they surrender Krishna. In this way, one can learn from anyone. One can learn from a brand new person and see, oh, they do it like that. That's nice. I could also do that. Very nice. In this way, one can see genuinely in everyone a spiritual master. So Prabhupada had this vision. Because it was a vision of so deeply appreciating devotional service and the power of devotional service. Prabhupada was so focused on devotional service. Prabhupada speaks about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer, the first prayer of the Sikshastakam. And he explains, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. He explains that the mirror of the consciousness of the heart has become covered by dust, the dust of material activity and activities of sense gratification and so on. And he says, in the modern times, the times are so agitated that there's just dust is just thrown up everywhere, and all this dust is just covering the mirror of the consciousness. But Prabhupada was by no means affected by all the passion that surrounded him. We live in a world of passion everywhere. People are just like passionately enjoying, passionate advertising, passionate moving around from one thing to another. Why? Flying in the sky with like hand gliders or like free fall from a plane. Only last minute you pull the parachute. Last minute. Wait as long as you can. Death is coming closer. Hoo-hoo, the adrenaline is flowing. Excitement. It worked. Thank you, God. A little prayer. And the mode of passion, just the mode of passion. The dust of sense gratification is just thrown up higher and higher, and no one can see the goal of life anymore. But Prabhupada was so unaffected. In the early mornings, in Radha Damodar, Prabhupada was preparing his mission. He was not, yes, he had started his Back to Godhead magazine in 1944 as a householder. Yes, he had continued. He had continued it in the early mornings in Radha Damodar. But this time he was not just writing editorials about the war. Now he was also including portions of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which later he translated as the Nectar of Devotion. But at that time, he began, in his Back to Godhead magazines, include translations, verse for verse and word for word, of the first verses of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And we can still find them there. It is very interesting, because he never did that as a book. If only he would have done that as a book. Oh, because, after all, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is made up of verses, and the Nectar of Devotion is made up of prose, right, of old text. So it's interesting if one looks at verses. Of course, now we have it from Bhanu Swami, and we can look at it like that, compare it, and next to the Nectar of Devotion, and see how it relates to the verses, and see how it's constructed, and we study that in Bhakti Shastri. Anyway, but Prabhupada was now including scripture. He was including scripture in his magazine also. And then, after completing it, his particular edition of Back to Godhead, then he would travel by train to Delhi. And he would go to Chippiwada. And in Chippiwada, which is just like in the heart of Chandni Chowk. Chandni Chowk is an area, it's the area where all the gold and silversmiths are. It's like a big market area of Delhi, of old Delhi. Delhi is New Delhi that was built for the British, and an old Delhi was the Indian city. And Chandni Chowk was the heart, the business heart, and the roads are like just so narrow, and this way and that way, and I mean, between houses you can shake hands. That's how close they are. I mean, even two people cannot pass together, you know. Sometimes it's just one. And there's wires hanging everywhere, and it's just such a... It's real India, you know. If you know what I'm joking, very much India. Anyway, and there in the heart of that place is Chippiwada. And there is a temple. And Prabhupada would stay there. Whenever he was in Delhi, he would stay there in that Chippiwada temple, and he had a room up there, and a room above the deity. So in the middle of the room, there's a little dome. There's a little dome over the deities. So that there, okay, you could not stand on top of the deities, but the little room is, and the room is there now. Now that temple has come to ISKCON, right? ISKCON is actually now managing the Chippiwada temple. Have you been? Ah, Radhe, Radhe, Govinda. What, picture? What? Oh, another hand went up, thank you. Hands. I've also been. You should go. You should go. You should ask someone. Guest room, they have also. Guest room, you can, if you're lucky, you can even stay in the guest room. It's very nice. These are, one can go there, but don't just go there. Don't just quickly go there. No. When you go there, sit down and go to the room where Prabhupada stayed, right? And sit there and open up the Lilamrita and read the whole section right there. When you're there, read it, right? So we get absorbed. Oh, in this way, we follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who stayed there at Chippiwada, and then from there would go to the printer to print his magazine. And at one point, the printer told him, "Why are you not printing books?" He said, a magazine will just, people read it once and that's it. They put it aside. Right? He said, but a book is something you keep, you know, a book is something that stays. A book is something that one will read again and again. Why don't you print books? So Prabhupada took that. He completely took that to heart. It was a reconfirmation of an order that he received from his spiritual master earlier in his Grihastha life. When he had visited his spiritual master at Radhakund, his spiritual master told him, if you ever have money, print books. So, and then the printer was reminding Prabhupada to print books. And so then he started. And he decided, although he had started with several translations already, because in his household life, he had already started a translation of the Bhagavad Gita. So that was going on. Then we can see he had started already on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That was going on. And now, but then he decided, no, it has to be Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam. Sometimes there are devotees that when you ask them, what have you read? Said, oh, many of Prabhupada's books. And then they give you like a whole list of all small books, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, Perfect Yoga, many, all the small books. And then, like, said, well, I'm trying to finish the Bhagavad Gita, and then I go like, Bhagavatam? I just go like, well, not yet, you know, but I'm planning to start it. No. Bhagavatam is the central core of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It is Bhagavatam that is the essence of all our literature. It is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita is simply the introduction. It is leading up, it gives us the basic philosophy. It describes the position of Ishvara. It describes the position of the jiva. It describes prakriti. It describes karma. It describes kala, time. Like this, Bhagavad Gita gives us the five main topics and the relationship between all those. The relationship between the jiva and the Supreme Lord. The relationship, the living entity situated in prakriti, in the material world. How to get out of this, right? How the living entity is marginal energy and can be also in the spiritual world. How in the material world everything is under the influence of time and under the influence of karma. And all these things are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And it establishes our constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. That is very nice, but it doesn't say much about Krishna. Not so much. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita, although everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita for going back to Godhead, for coming to the transcendental platform, what is missing is the nectar. The nectar of Krishna's pastimes on this planet, of Krishna's activities, that's in the Bhagavatam. But one cannot understand that unless one has read about all the other incarnations of the Lord. Because one must understand how Krishna relates, how he expands himself. Advaita manadim, anantarupam. He is endless forms. So one must understand the endless forms of Krishna. Bhagavatam. And then Bhagavatam in the 10th canto describes to us everything about Krishna. So Bhagavatam is the book of this movement. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching Krishna consciousness, the principal evidence he gave was the Bhagavatam. When we go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see how the principal evidence for everything, for all his teachings, was the Bhagavatam. You look in the Nectar of Devotion, main evidence, the Bhagavatam. You look at the Satsandarbhas from Jiva Goswami, and the first one is called the Bhagavat Sandarbha, where he establishes that the Bhagavatam is the fifth Veda. Right? And that as fifth Veda that it is fully authorized, and then the rest of the Sandarbhas is simply to establish the absolute truth on the basis of Bhagavatam. And in this way, Jiva Goswami establishes the whole theology of our movement based on Bhagavatam. So it's Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada began with the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said that in every house on the planet, there should be a full set of Bhagavatams. Right? In every house on the planet, a full set of Bhagavatams. Is there one in your house? That's a good beginning. So like this, we are ready to look at Srila Prabhupada. And this evening, I wanted to, whereas in the morning, I was looking at Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON, and as the one who incorporated ISKCON, who started to preach and created a worldwide movement, I thought, let's now, I didn't think that before, but in this lecture I got the inspiration somewhere to speak about Prabhupada as the founder of the BBT, of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which is Prabhupada as the publisher, Prabhupada as the writer. And Prabhupada was there in Radha Damodar, typing every night. We find a book which is written by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada named Mula Prakriti. And Mula Prakriti, a lady, she was a very powerful book distributor in Prabhupada's time. And so substantial amongst the ladies. And Mula Prakriti, she has now passed away, but she wrote this book. What she did is she went to Vrindavan and she started interviewing all the people that were there at Prabhupada's time and try and get some descriptions from them about Srila Prabhupada. Now, of course, once you start doing such a thing, in India, you know, I mean, people have great power in creating. They're very creative when they tell stories. So you're not always sure exactly what is true and what is not. And it's not just a little change. Sometimes, no, he used to come to our house every day, to the house of my uncle, and there, yes, they had deep discussions till early in the morning. You will find such stories. Like one made it into the Lilamrita. Some musician who became friends with Prabhupada was the only one to come and see him off as he went on the Jaladuta. Later on found out that was false, that didn't happen. Anyway, so Mula Prakriti wrote this book and one story about Srila Prabhupada was in that book. And that was that one night when Srila Prabhupada was there writing, translating, and writing his purports, that one night Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami appeared and that they personally instructed him. So that story was in the book. Now, in 1975, Hari Suri was Prabhupada's servant. And in 1975, Hari Suri was in Vrindavan, and somehow or other this story, the book of Mula Prakriti was not written yet, but somehow or other this story was going around, and Hari Suri heard about it. So one day he went to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I have heard that when you were in Radha Damodar, working on the translation of your books, that at that time, Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis personally appear to you? I have heard. Is it true? And Prabhupada said, oh, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. And he just dismissed it like that. Oh yeah, everybody knows that. Not a big deal. No? He wasn't denying it. And he just said, oh, everybody knows that. So yes, who is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada today, on his appearance day, is being glorified all over the world. And we don't know if it ends there. We don't know if it ends on this planet. We don't know if he's not glorified by the demigods today. The demigods, they are witnessing everything. The demigods shower flowers. Who knows where the Vyasa Pujas are taking place today? Where it begins and where it ends? The family wanted the copyright over the books, and for a little while I was doing a little service, visiting some lawyers in that regards, and it was, there were 92 titles, counting everything, right? Every little small thing. But they were claiming the copyright for 92 titles, right? 92 titles. Of course, that counts every little small book, every little pamphlet or whatever, right? But still, how could anyone do so much, write so many books? So just as an author. And how did he do it? How did he do it? Oh, he, in such a short time, how could he just distribute, how could he write so many books? How was it possible? He was not old-fashioned. That was one thing. He was ready to use modern equipment. And somehow or other, it was Garga Muni who became inspired to buy Prabhupada that dictaphone. And Garga Muni wanted to explain to Prabhupada how it worked. And Prabhupada said, no, that's all right. That's all right. He understood how to use it. Krishna from within just revealed it to him. Prabhupada was a bit of a technical man also. He had studied chemistry. Wasn't just like some sort of... that means you have some technical sense. So it was not a problem for Prabhupada. He said, no, I can... He knew how to operate the thing. And he operated this dictaphone. And he started using that. Oh, yes. Prabhupada certainly relied on the work of his spiritual master. And his spiritual master was extremely powerful and had produced many things. And one of the things the Gaudiya Math had produced under the guidance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was a book called the Gaudiya Bhasya. And this Gaudiya Bhasya, or the Gaudiya commentary, included, it was a book which included commentaries of all the acharyas in one book, and on the Bhagavatam. So it was a big book. So this big book was always carried as Prabhupada was going around, and the servant would place this big book on his table. And it was this big book, it was there, the dictaphone was there, and then, yes, then Prabhupada would just look at the verse of the Bhagavatam, then he would look at the commentaries, and then he went into meditation. Because when Prabhupada would speak, Prabhupada would not rehearse a lecture. It's not that Prabhupada would sit down and go, where are my notes? Oh my God, I forgot my notes. Right? No, he was not speaking from notes. He was speaking from the heart. He was speaking from knowledge that he had absorbed, that he had heard. And now he was meditating on the purports of the Acharyas. And he had in front of him the commentaries of the Acharyas. He had in front of him the Bhagavatam itself. He had read the Bhagavatam extensively. It's not that Srila Prabhupada was a businessman who did business in this chemical business for this Bosch company or for his own pharmacy. He was traveling for this Bosch company all over. It wasn't that he just did business. And then he took Vanaprastha. And then he started reading the Bhagavatam. No. Oh no. It would not be possible at such, listen to his lectures, how faithful they are. How faithful to the Bhagavatam. How much he is giving examples from the Bhagavatam. Oh no. He was not new to the Bhagavatam. Oh no. He had spent a lifetime with the Bhagavatam. That's the fruit of a lifetime with the Bhagavatam. But he took sannyas late, right? Late. I mean, 59, right? That's kind of late, right? Not so young. So, in this way, we can appreciate that he had absorbed the Bhagavatam, and now he was meditating. He was meditating deeply on the meaning of this verse, the meaning of the Bhagavatam as a whole for mankind. And he's saying that in this modern times, in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gives an introduction. In the introduction, he's basically saying that modern times is a time where the world is coming together and the world is looking for one solution. No longer are there many, many small countries. I'm here in Slovenia speaking English, and it looks like most of you understand. Well, at least I hope so. But you kind of look your understanding. And if you're not understanding, what can I do? Then you should next time take the earphones. Because anyway, so Prabhupada was saying, and that one book for the world could be Srimad Bhagavatam. And that Srimad Bhagavatam, it is describing Param Satyam. It begins with the verse, Janmadiyasyatunvyati taratastachis dabikyasavratene brahmarina yadikavyam yantiyat surya tejo varimatam yadavinimayo yatatvishorganisa damnasvena sadani rastakukam satyam param dimahi. Satyam param dimahi. Dimahi is a word from the Gayatri mantra. It invokes Gayatri and it invokes meditation. When you say dimahi, that word invokes the presence of Gayatri. And it invokes the presence of the meditation on param satyam, on the absolute truth. And Prabhupada says the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish that param satyam is Parameshwar. He says, what does that mean? Param satyam means the absolute truth. And Parameshwar means the supreme param controller. So the absolute truth is the supreme controller. And if you speak of a supreme controller, what does that mean? A supreme controller cannot be an all-pervading impersonal energy. The all-pervading impersonal is the supreme controller? No. That's not a controller. That's an energy. Controller means a person. Therefore, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish that Param Satyam is Parameshwar. That the absolute truth is the supreme controller. That's it. So that's interesting. That is very interesting. Because that changes everything. Everything. Once we realize that there is a supreme personality of Godhead, and we begin to appreciate this supreme personality of Godhead, and that becomes our activity, to just find out more and more about this supreme personality of Godhead. Yes, then we are there. Then we are there in the spiritual world. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna in the forest and the cowherd boys, and Prabhupada is saying, "Mother, today Krishna killed so many demons," and he's speaking completely he is there, not like he is not present. Now, we are not saying Prabhupada is a coward boy or something like that. But the point is that it is through Srimad Bhagavatam. Through Srimad Bhagavatam that we get a glimpse into the spiritual world. And that is what Prabhupada gave us. And not just sentiment, but systematically understanding how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. That is what he explained on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's there that you get the full picture, the full understanding. So this is our mission, to give this to the world. Book distributors are not just meant to distribute the books. When Prabhupada came for his final visit to the Bhaktivedanta Manor, at that time, the number one book distribution yatra in the world were the Germans. So they came a little late. Prabhupada was already there. And they came, and the mood was Prabhupada wasn't well. So everyone was very quiet. The whole manor, everyone was tiptoeing. Prabhupada needs to rest. We should not make any noise. Shh, Prabhu. Prabhu, don't speak so loud. Prabhu. That was the mood. So everyone was very quiet. And then the Germans came in. Yeah, it was a high ball. And Sankirtan. At the time, nowadays they're also very quiet Germans. We have one sitting right there. Germans are very nice. In Slovenia they like Germans. They identify more with that side than with the other side. Anyway, so the thing is then that the Germans, they came and they made so much noise, and the devotees said, "Please, please, Prabhupada is not well, be quiet, you know, please be quiet." And said, no, we are coming to meet Prabhupada. Said, "Oh, no, Prabhupada cannot meet anyone." No. We are Sankirtan devotees. Prabhupada will surely meet us. Just ask him. He will surely meet us. And they asked Prabhupada, and sure enough, Prabhupada said, "Oh yes, send them up." And the German devotees, Yes. They came up. And as they came up, it was just overwhelming. I heard it from various devotees. Preetu is one, Manidhar is another one who were there. But Manidhar said that when he came in the room and he saw Prabhupada was just sitting in Vaikuntha. He was in Vaikuntha. And coming in that room was like looking over the wall of Vaikuntha and seeing how he was just completely in Vaikuntha. And then, so Prabhupada said, "So, you are distributing my books?" And Prabhupada said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, many, yes. And then Prabhupada said, "Okay. And are you reading my books?" And I was like, didn't know what to say. And then Prabhupada said, "What is the most important verse?" So, well, you know, I mean, that's a tough question. Like, even today, if even the local pundits, you know, would sort of like, look at their watch and sort of look in another direction. It's like, I hope he's not going to ask me, you know, because all my name, fame, and glory will become like destroyed today. But no, what is the most important verse? And then Prithu spoke, and Prithu said, "Yare deke tarakaha Krishna upadesh amar agyaye guru hoye tare edesh." Whomever you meet, whomever you see, instruct them about Krishna. In this way, become a spiritual master and deliver the entire country or the entire world. So Prabhupada said, "Oh, very nice. Very nice." Of course, you know, if that was the only verse that could have been mentioned, there could have been many other verses also mentioned. Obviously, what is the most important verse? It's hard to say. It's hard to say. One verse that one could come up with is Iti chamsakala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam midayanti yuge yuge. That verse is known as the central verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami has identified that as the Paribhasa Sutra, which is the one verse that lights up the whole text. And every verse, everything of the text should be seen in relation to that one verse. Eti chamsa kala pumsa. So that is very important. And that verse is explaining, it is in the chapter that describes all the incarnations of the Lord that appear, and it gives a whole list of these incarnations. And then it describes how amongst all these incarnations, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, one could say, this is very important. Yes. Later, in Vrindavan, we once had a discussion about Srila Prabhupada's samadhi and with a group of devotees of what to do. And we were discussing how behind Srila Prabhupada on the wall there should be two art panels that say something about his life. And there are two art panels, but not the ones that we were discussing in the meeting. In the meeting, we discussed that there should be two panels, and and Prithu was also in that meeting, and it was his idea when he said, one panel should be Yare Deke Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh, should be showing that whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna, which is what Prabhupada really did, right? There's no doubt about it. If anyone lived that verse, it was Srila Prabhupada. And then the other panel should be, when once people have come because of preaching, then Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Then we establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is very nice, because those two verses really sum up the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That sums up what he did. He was preaching to everyone and anyone he met about Krishna consciousness, and once they would come closer, he would systematically establish how Krishna, and that Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, inevitably, take him to Bhagavatam. So, And then what about Chaitanya Charitamrita? That's an extension of the Bhagavatam. It's the same knowledge of the Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lives the Bhagavatam. He teaches the Bhagavatam. It's the same Bhagavatam. And what about the Prabhupada Lilamrita? Well, I will say, do you know that once someone asked a question to Srila Prabhupada and said, what about Joan of Arc, also known as Jean d'Arc? Joan of Arc is what the Americans say. What about Joan of Arc? Is she also in the Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada is saying, eh? Joan of Arc in the Bhagavatam? And then he says, why not? The life of great devotees is also Bhagavatam. In this way, I will say today, the Prabhupada Lilamrita is also Bhagavatam. All the biographies about Srila Prabhupada, the diaries of Hari Suri, it's also Bhagavatam. The diaries of many disciples, all Bhagavatam, all describing the life and activities of Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental adventure of Kurma Prabhu, describing Srila Prabhupada's visit to Australia, Burijan describing Srila Prabhupada's visit to Hong Kong, so many, and Prabhupada Lilamrita is describing all the things that Prabhupada did in terms of preaching, and then Hari Suri's diary is writing what happened when Prabhupada would come back in his room. So it's interesting, because he was the servant. So of course he also writes a bit about what happens outside the room, but he writes also what happens when Prabhupada would come back in. Then you get Tamal Krishnamurti, the personal secretary, and he's writing about the final days, and also the servant of the servant. He writes what it's like to be a servant of a pure devotee. Not so easy. It wasn't just that the servants of Srila Prabhupada were just always in bliss. Sometimes it was tough. It wasn't easy. Because he was a pure devotee, but they were not. And therefore, being with him wasn't always so easy for them. And Prabhupada would translate. And one evening, Prabhupada was getting ready to translate. 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, he sits down to translate. And he invites his disciple, come, sit next to me. So, oh no, Srila Prabhupada, it's 11 o'clock, I'm really tired, I've been up the whole day, so much service. I need to rest. I'm not going to rest, yes, but Srila Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. Why are you not a pure devotee? That was the answer. It's like, what could you say after that? Anyway, he went to bed. What to do? What to do? We are only human. We are only human. But so is Srila Prabhupada. And that's the amazing thing. That a human being was able to show such levels of pure devotion. One would not be able to believe it if you would hear about it. If you hear about Haridas Thakur, it's a miracle, but it happened some, it's like almost a story, amazing story. Narottam, amazing story. You know, like Arjuna, amazing. It's just all amazing, amazing, amazing. But Prabhupada was here yesterday. Only yesterday. Still, there are so many people who were there with him. And it will tell us, he was here only yesterday. Real life pure devotional service, right in front of modern people's eyes. In the modern world, jet age parivrajak, jet age, oh God, flying, airports, like planes. And Prabhupada, one journey from Frankfurt to Sydney. I know that plane, the QF-64. Huh? And Prabhupada was flying on that flight, from Frankfurt, Qantas flight, to Sydney. And the whole way, he only once spoke short, and the rest he was chanting. Just chanting. Oh. So, what can we say? He had no jet lag. His servants always had jet lag. Of course, Prabhupada would sleep like 2 hours at night and 2 hours in the day. Then you don't have jet lag. Doesn't matter where you are. Same. Anyway, he was transcendental. So in terms of his books, his books are more important than the temples. The temples are certainly a shelter. The temples are a place where we can come together. The temples are a place where we find opportunity to associate, to be together. But even if there was no temple, even if that was not there, and if he would still have the books, it would be enough. But if he would have only the temple and no books, it would be not enough. It would be not enough. We need the books. It is the books, through the books, are we finding our roots in Krishna consciousness. That is why if you just come to the temple and you have no relationship with the books, don't praise yourself. Do not feel self-satisfied. Do not think you're good enough. Without the books, sorry. And of course, not just collecting books. Collecting. My hard drive is like a vacuum cleaner. Slurp. More and more. But are you reading them? I mean, at least Prabhupada's books. Oh. Other books may be there. We may also read reference books. Certainly. But Prabhupada's books, they are transforming us. See, in the world, you are bombarded all the time with information. Even people that don't want, like, you know, you're sitting there, Detroit, U.S. stat, what is it, something, vintage legacy. Well, it's a message. Whew, Detroit. Skyscrapers. No, I know. You don't see it. Nobody sees it. Everyone has messages on their shirts, messages on billboards, messages all over the internet, messages. And you're being programmed. Everyone is being programmed all the time with information. And they tell you, it's the real thing. No, it's not. It's rubbish. Right? That's the problem. We have this information age. And we're bombarded with information. And you need filters. Oh yes, you need filters. To filter out the good from the bad. Right? There may be some good knowledge out there. But you need filters to filter it out. Where do you get the filters? Prabhupada's books. You read Prabhupada's books, you get information filters. Then you will know what is right, what is wrong. For once you'll know it. And when you read Prabhupada's books, then you don't need no filters at all. You can just hear, you can just read it, drink it in. Usually we have filters. Is this true? Is it not true? Can you trust it? Can you not trust it? I don't know if I agree with this. Maybe, maybe not. Some of it I like, but some of it I don't. That's usually how we read, how we look. I think it's exaggerated. I don't know if I believe this. Skeptical. And they train you. And they send you to university to change the way you think. critical thinking. Question, question, question whatever information you get. Critical thinking. Don't swallow everything like that. That is right. Critical thinking is needed, except when you hear from Srila Prabhupada. When you take these books, relief. Finally, I can relax. Finally, I don't need to stress. Finally, I just open it up and drink it in. And it's pure. And it's soothing. And it's true. And it just enters into my consciousness. And there, it just lifts it up. It just lifts it up. Right? From my normal pattern of thoughts. God, it's clouded again. Oh God, look at all this world. It's just the material world. Kali Yuga. Bhagavatam. That feels a little better. Let's read another verse. Ah, yes, let's read the second verse of the Bhagavatam. Okay, yeah, I'll read another one. Just one more. Ah, yes. Ah. I feel rejuvenated. I feel uplifted. I feel purified. It stays in the consciousness. Here, whatever word is there, it is 100% pure. 100% pure. You can put all your trust there. All your trust there. It is the absolute truth. What a relief. In a world of the cheaters and the cheated. The world made up of cheaters and cheated. And we have Prabhupada's books. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. And therefore, this evening, I wanted to especially appreciate Srila Prabhupada writing his books. And Prabhupada said that he said the purports are more important than the verses. So like, isn't that that sounds a little strange, right? No, the verses are completely transcendental, yeah. And then he says the purports are more important than the verses. Doesn't that sound a little bit like self-aggrandizement? The verses are from Krishna and from great acharyas from the past, but the purports are mine. How does that sound? Huh? Some people might think that sounds a little bit taking pride in his own work. No. No. Without the purports, how could we understand the verses? But the purports, they bring us the deeper meaning of the verses. We may understand them up to a level. Different birds are flying in the sky on their own level. We are barely flying, some of us, you know, are walking birds. There are these birds that don't even fly. No? Somehow or other. But Prabhupada is just... So when he explains the verse, then you go, oh, I never thought of it like that. I never understood it like that. Oh, I see. Oh, it actually... Oh, there's a lot more to it than I thought. In this way, he expands our vision, our thinking, our concept of reality, our own little brains, our own little world, our own little perception of everything. Small men, small mind, small people, the dwarves. And suddenly it starts growing. Compassion. Yes, the whole world is your family.
The whole world? Gosh, you know? Never thought of it like that. Right?
Coochie, coochie, coo, baby, yes. You monster of the neighbors, go away.
Go. I told you to go.
Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. Yes. No. The whole world is our family. Oh, yeah, daddy. Think about that one. Phew. And you thought a few kids was all you had to worry about. No. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. The whole world. And Prabhupada thought like that and therefore wanted the whole world to have this transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada saw everyone as a close family member. All, everyone. This morning I spoke about the love that Prabhupada had for his disciples. But what we didn't speak about was the love that Prabhupada had for every living being. That's the love that he had for everyone. And how he therefore wanted everyone to have this transcendental knowledge. And that's why. That is why he was translating and translating and translating and translating up to the very end of his life. So in this way, these books of Srila Prabhupada must be in the center of our life. They must be there with us every day. Like Sanatan Goswami says in the Stavamala that Bhagavatam is my constant companion. That's how it should be. Okay, I can of course go on till midnight again. But then again, I'm leaving early tomorrow morning, and I think what's going to happen between midnight and my departure, and I'm planning to have sweet dreams. I hope so, because of your association and because of such a ecstatic weekend, or whatever it was. Such an ecstatic few days. Yeah. Also a festival. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, an ecstatic few days. Somewhere, weekdays. And so I thank you for that, and I'm sure that because of that, all of us will have sweet dreams. What other dreams could we possibly have after all this transcendental energy? Surely we'll dream something wonderful. But if sometimes the dreams are not nice, or if sometimes the consciousness is not so good, then it's so simple. Just Prabhupada's books, and everything will change. If we have questions on our mind, the questions will go away if we read Srimad Bhagavatam. So many questions. One man was asking Prabhupada so many questions. Then Prabhupada gave answers. And then he asked another question. And then Prabhupada gave another question. And Prabhupada said, why don't you just digest the answers? There are not so many questions. There's one answer. It's very simple. Just serve Krishna. Should I do this? Just serve Krishna. Shall I go to Japan? Just serve Krishna. Shall I get married? Just serve Krishna. Shall I get another job? Just serve Krishna. Shall I chant Hare Krishna? Yes, just chant Hare Krishna. It's so simple. No? All the complexity will disappear. We become fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. Yes, how nice. The mind is spinning. The mind has been swept up. All that dust, so much glittering dust, gold dust. It's not just ordinary dust, my friend. It's gold. Gold dust. Anyway, so let us take shelter in Srila Prabhupada's books. and let the world take shelter in Srila Prabhupada's books. Let Srila Prabhupada's books be in the center of our life and be in the center of the world. Because when these books are in the center, then when Bhagavatam is in the center, then Tattvak Visargo, Janataka Viplavo, Yasmin Pratislogan Abhadavati Api, Namani Anantasya Yasun Kitani Yat Srinvanti Grinanti Gayanti Sadavaha. Then it's said that this Bhagavatam, which is heard by men who are thoroughly honest, heard and sung by men who are thoroughly honest, even if it is imperfectly composed, even if there are some grammatical mistakes might be found, this Bhagavatam will bring about a revolution in the entire world, in a misguided, misdirected civilization. In early 80s, Jagadish Prabhu, he gave a lecture, and he just quoted this verse. He quoted this verse, and he said, Tatvak Visargo Janataga Viplavo. He said, and this verse is predicting Srila Prabhupada. Because this verse is describing that there will be a revolution in the whole world based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So has there been a revolution based on Bhagavatam ever before? Have you seen? Have you seen in the history? Jeanne d'Arc, did she create a history with Bhagavatam? Or, you know, like... No, we haven't seen anybody. History of Bhagavatam. Vyasadev? Not Vyasadev. No. Prabhupada. His point was, it is Prabhupada who is actually fulfilling this verse. Bringing about, and it's, even if it's imperfectly composed, and it was, when Prabhupada came across and brought those books, when he brought those books on the Jaladutta, in the red cover, there was a red cover of some cloth, and on glued on board, and then there was a cover around it, and on the cover there was Prabhupada's drawing, the drawing of the spiritual world, the drawing of the Brahma Jyoti and the Vaikuntha planets, the drawing of planet Earth. That drawing was there on the cover, and as Prabhupada carried these books across, Tatvak Visargo Janataka Viplavo Yasmin Pratislogam Abhadavati Api, he was bringing about this revolution in the whole world through the Bhagavatam. He was bringing it. Just see. Jagadish Prabhu pointed it out. Early 80s. Pointed it out. And he was right. And said, and therefore, Srila Prabhupada is a Shakti Avesh Avatar, a specially empowered incarnation of the Lord. The Lord, one who is chosen by the Lord to fulfill a great, great mission. Predicted in the scripture. And now, here we see. So that was revolutionary in those days, when he quoted that verse. And it's still revolutionary today, because it's that Bhagavatam that is really making the revolution in the world. Okay, now I'll end. Any question or comment? Otherwise, enough is enough, Prabhuji. Yeah, devotees don't read Prabhupada's books. Why are we not taking it serious? Chanchalam himana Krishna. Because the mind is restless. It's the restlessness of the mind. We're so restless, one moment here, one moment there, looking here, looking there. And now we have the internet, and it makes even more restless, because then you can really look here and there and everywhere very quick. You know, look here, look there, look this, look that, look all over the place. Read this, read that, read all over the place. Read 20 books at the same time, 3 lines Krishna book, reads a little bit like, zhoof, Bhagavatam e-book reader, zhoof, you know. Read half a page here, okay, boring, shift. Read the other one, like, more fast, get the mind spinning, get the mind going fast. Internet, yes. Restless, restless mind, can't fix, can't be peaceful. That is one thing. In the Middle Ages, in the monasteries, there was a practice which was called Lectio Divina. And this Lectio Divina, there's a book that was going around, and I'm sure Radha Govinda has it in digital form somewhere. If you don't want to buy it, he can provide it. Yes. Lectio Divina, you have it. You should check, and if you don't have it, you'd better get it. You know. I might have it. I mean, I'll have a look also. I'll give it to you. Anyway, this Lectio Divina is speaking about a process of reading. And it said that monks would do prayerful reading. They wouldn't just read, but they would read very meditative and very prayerful. And if you actually look at Bhagavatam, it is Lectio Divina because it moves slowly. You get a description of Krishna and you see slowly. You get one verse, you can visualize. Just like we were reading a little bit of the pastimes of Krishna yesterday. And we could visualize it. It was graphically described. And, you know, like, you couldn't tell the story like that, like, with so much detail, like the Bhagavatam gives so much detail. So in this way, Lectio Divina, fix ourselves. Real reading. Read one book. Prabhupada was lecturing on the Bhagavatam. And, you know, it was really interesting because he was lecturing on a particular portion of the Bhagavatam and then he was traveling. And if you follow how Prabhupada was traveling, he was going from one place to another and he just would carry on lecturing from the same Bhagavatam. That was interesting. He wouldn't change. He would just like, in each place, he just lectured from the same Bhagavatam. So that he would go deep, deep into the chapter. That his lecturing would just build up and not one day here, one day there. So we must learn to actually calm down. Calm down. Just calm down, all that. There's nothing to do. Calm down. Read. Sit down. Ah! No, no. It's okay. It's okay. Read. One book. Just one book. Oh, the letters are dancing. Oh, my God. How can I... Oh, I'm getting dizzy. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. Bhagavatam. Oh gosh, it's so difficult, so complicated. I'm not advanced enough for this. I'm not learned enough. I'm not a philosopher. Maybe I should read a small book. Small, small, small. Small book, quick, easy. Yes, yes, yes. Not Bhagavatam. Oh my God. It's like, you know, Bhagavatam, 12 cantos. And for your birthday, we are giving you today Srimad Bhagavatam. Help! What will I do now? Oh my God. Do I have to read all of this? Anyway, put it on the shelf. It looks nice. Looks intellectual. Selfie. Right. Me and the Bhagavatam. Right. And I'm really glad for that gift. Thank you so much. That was nice. No, read it. Read. Sit down. Sit down and actually read. Turn off the damn thing. Turn off the monster that destroys your life. Turn it off. All of the little monsters, the big monster, the little monsters. Shut down. No, not flight mode. Down. Shut down. Shut down. Pull plug. Finished. Right? No. Book. Book. B-O-O-K. Yes. Book. A book? You read a book? Yeah, yeah. Book. Book. Pages. Pages. Put it down on the table. Yes. Sit down. Light. Read. One page. This takes forever. A whole page? Whole page. The Sanskrit as well. Yep. The Sanskrit. Oh, God. Can I skip it? No. No skipping. Word for word? Have a look at it. Oh, God. Word for word? I'm going to bite my nails. And then, no. Read. Read. Restless minds. That's why. Restless, restless, restless minds. Well, but then once you go through the barrier, it gets nice, actually. And then after a while, it gets actually, wow. Actually, like reading the Bhagavatam, it's actually very nice. Once you get through that barrier, it's fun, and you just really want to read the Bhagavatam. Okay, thank you very much. It was so nice in Slovenia. We'll see you once again. Goodbye, goodbye. Anyway, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Let us... just one more time, glorify Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Maha Mahotsava Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Itai Gaura Pemananda.